Grace and peace to you from the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The words for our consideration this morning are the words of the Old Testament reading in Isaiah chapter 6, and I would invite the congregation to rise for the reading of the sermon text. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, today bring this word into our hearts and strengthen our faith. Set us apart for yourself, for your purpose is righteous and holy. Set us apart by your word. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, one of my early childhood memories is of camping. I remember standing and looking at a campfire, and I was amazed by the heat and the flame, the glowing coals, the crackling, the smoke that seemed to know exactly where I was standing. There's a reason why God showed his prophet Isaiah a fiery vision. Fire is, on the one hand, very destructive, can burn you very quickly. And on the other hand, it can be very constructive. Fire in the engine, in the cylinders, is good. Fire in the passenger seat is bad. The Lord is an unquenchable fire. He's never extinguished, forever burning those who offend him, who disobey him, who trifle with him, who pay him no attention or misrepresent what he says, and yet at the same time forever powering and moving his people heavenward. When Isaiah saw the throne room of God, he saw fire all around. Smoke filled the temple. These fiery beings, that's what seraph means in Hebrew, it means fire. These fiery angels, six-winged, flanked the throne and they called out, "Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh." That's Hebrew for holy. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And when Isaiah saw this scene and he heard the angels and he felt the foundations quaking at their singing, he glimpsed for a moment the consuming fire of God and he cried out, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." It is as though Isaiah suddenly realized that the fire was not contained, but was all around him, and he was about to die. "Woe is me," he cried out, "for I am a man of unclean lips." What made him say that? What made him cry out, "I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips"? Had he cussed a blue streak? I don't think so, but maybe. Had he disrespected his elders? And why the emphasis on the lips in the first place, on speaking? Well, I think it helps for us to think about this question. What is it that would make the lips of this prophet unclean? Or clean, for that matter? What would make the words of our mouths clean in the sight of God? Isaiah says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's really not anything that we could dream up to say on our own that would be clean in God's sight. The only words that we can ever say that are clean are words that accord with His word. And by nature, we would never agree with Him. By nature, we would never speak His word in its truth and purity. We're at enmity with God right from the moment we're conceived because of that sin that we inherit from our parents and they from theirs back to Adam and Eve. Isaiah's lamenting the fact that he and his people would never be able to say anything worthwhile on their own. And here he is now standing before the Lord with fire all around him and fiery angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy," reminding him that God is far beyond anything we can imagine, pure and perfectly dedicated to himself and righteousness and his purposes and goodness. And the prophet is terrified. Terrified of the consuming fire that is God. When you think about your words, what do you think? Do you see that you're here right now, standing before the Lord in all His perfect holiness? Do you see your nakedness before Him who sees all, who knows all, who has heard everything we've ever said or thought? Now, it's true that the flaming seraphim are not shaking our building with their words, but we should see the flames if we're hearing God rightly. This isn't some little trivial thing. Our words are often damnable. Think of how often we slant our words in a selfish way, angling in just that subtle little way to make things turn out the way we want them to turn out. That's our sinful nature spilling forth. How often do we speak of the one true God when and where we ought to? How often do not our words tear other people down? Woe to me. Woe to us. We are a people of unclean lips. Instead of excusing and speaking well and putting the best construction on the words of others, we often lie about others and betray others and slander others and then excuse ourselves and speak well of ourselves and put the best possible construction on our motives. How terribly backward that is. By rights, we should be burned in that consuming fire first stoked for the devil and his lies. By rights, we should expect condemnation for our words and our deeds. But instead, fellow redeemed, we find that the fire of God is working powerfully and constructively for us, to save us. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" See how the fire has ceased. See how the altar has cooled God's fiery wrath. The Lord himself, full of grace and truth, he has come to you. He has come to help you by way of an altar. He has atoned for your sin. He has offered on that altar a sacrifice for you. Instead of breaking out with unquenchable fire to burn you forever, the Lord has turned his fire upon himself, fire burning fire forever. Instead of eternal hellfire, the Lord himself has secured by means of the altar of the cross your eternal salvation. Now it's true that salvation comes with a measure of suffering because it did for him. It is his way, the way he went to save us. Cleansing the uncleanness of our lips is not without pain. There's symbolism in that coal. It's unnatural for us. Excuse me. But God has sent his Spirit, and as he rested upon the disciples on Pentecost, so he rests upon us. In our hearts, on our lips. And that fire is at times painful for us to bear. It's unnatural to speak the truth in love for us. And yet he moves us to do just that. Not by some dread fear of unquenchable fire, but by the reverent fear and thankfulness that rises up from the heat of his altar, his love, his grace in Christ, lifting us up, directing us to good things. Remember, if we have not love, then our speech is just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It's meaningless. It's unnatural to tell other people about our great God, and yet he moves us to do just that very thing, sending his Spirit to us, to give us the words at the right time. Look where that fire comes from. Look where it is taking us now. God's love is an unquenchable fire that does not consume, but propels us. It propels us out into the world with cleansed lips to proclaim the truth. God is gracious. He loves you beyond all measure. Enough to do the impossible for you, to die for you, to rise again from the dead for you. Believe it. That's the fire in the engine of salvation. Believe it. The Spirit proclaims it today in your hearing. He who has ears, let him hear. And that burning love of God propels us from a short, empty, dull life of dying to an everlasting and bright and full life with God, starting now and going on into heaven, an infinite engine working through the centuries tirelessly year after year to lift us out of the fires of hell and despair in this dying world that we live in and up to be with him in heaven, to the throne room of God, where the seraphim cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Where we will cry out, as the book of Revelation says, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Fellow redeemed, you've been baptized into the family of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he is your God, the great three in one, the only true God, and he sent his Spirit to be with you and work in you. His fire for your souls burns in you. How can we not answer as Isaiah did? "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" In faith, our hearts are willing, but we are yet in the flesh. We have that nature that would keep us back, subdued and downcast. We're not sufficient for the task, let alone for that new nature that God has put in us. But remember this, the fire in the engine is not yours, it is God and his grace in word and sacrament. The same Spirit who brought you to life, who brought you today to be with Isaiah in that throne room of heaven, he makes you strong. He makes you able to say those very simple words, the Father loves you, the Son redeemed you, the Spirit is with you every day in word and sacrament. He makes you strong to invite people to hear God speak through the unclean lips of even this pastor. So say it with me, fellow redeemed. I want you to say it out loud today. Say it with me to the God who loved you. Say, here am I, send me. Say it, here am I, send me. Amen. You may rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.